Hello.
No problem.
Can anyone see us? Please tweet us if you can see us. We should be live now. Whoa, it says 45 viewers, so that's like a few.
Holy crap.
People.
It's no better than eight.
We had eight earlier. It was entertaining.
Okay, so basically just send us a tweet if you can see us, and then we'll start properly because I need to know that we're all good. Hello? Anyone there? I'm expecting someone to like talk back like from the audience. Yes, we can hear you.
I don't hear anybody. Okay,
I'm alone.
I think we're good.
Are we good?
Oh, hey, hi, people.
Are we good?
Hi, people. We're good, apparently.
Okay, so,
hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 35 of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, which is our first ever live Google Hangout broadcast celebrating the mid-season finale. And so that's fun, I suppose. A bit awkward, but here we are.
You can see how much we edit.
Yeah. Because every podcast you hear, it takes like between 4 to 8 hours to edit because it's just like I'll cut out like every half second of dead air so a conversation flows better. So like we're not as good and like profound at speaking as you might think.
Don't tell them that.
We can't cut that out.
And if you like our basic failure, then that's cool. I'll save 8 hours a week on editing the podcast and just put it up raw. So that'll be cool. Anyway, obviously there's four of us here today. We might have some more people drop in for a few minutes during the course of the show. We may not. We've invited a few people to drop in if they're available. So it's me. I'm Natalie. Obviously, we've got our names on the screens, so you can make a helpful, face-to-name recognition. So hi, everyone. I'm in Sydney in my kitchen, so that's cool. And then who else have we got here today? I would say let's go from left to right, but it's probably different on everyone's screens. But over there for me is Courtney, our social media guru, who's been on one of our episodes before. So hello.
Hi, guys. I'm speaking from Louisiana. Hopefully the twang will come out and you can make fun of me later.
The train? It's okay. I've got planes. You hear planes because I am in my kitchen, not in my soundproofed bedroom, because the light in the bedroom was really bad.
Her southern accent.
I was talking about twang. I don't have
a twang. See, I can't even understand words like because I process everything differently to American. Karen is here.
Hi, guys. I'm in my computer room, which doesn't look as interesting as their room. There's some flowers on the wall back there. Thank you.
Oh, someone says they lost me. Am I back?
No, you're fine on mine. Yeah, you're fine on mine.
Yeah,
I can see you.
Okay, maybe I went out for a second. And then in with the beautiful yellow ribbon is a person that we have not seen before. That's Donya. Is that how you say it? I've said that.
Yeah, that is actually. Yeah, that is how you say my name.
Okay, cool. Hang on, plane. Donya is our friend in Wales. She actually did all our web design for Tumblr and everything like that. So she's done heaps of work for the podcast as well, and will be going to the Wolfsbane Con in the UK, both for her own enjoyment and to represent us, and hopefully anyone in the UK going to Wolfsbane can hang out with her there. So, hello.
Mine would be great if you say hi to me next week. I'll be arriving on the Thursday, so I just added an extra day. I'll be driving down straight after work. So I'll be there from about 8 p.m., traffic allowing.
Cool. And where is it exactly? It's in London, right?
It's in Heathrow, yeah.
Oh, that conference hotel that they do.
Yeah.
And what time is it for you now?
20 past 1 in the morning.
Cool.
Ed's good dedication.
For you. She's a trooper.
You send her love. Yeah, please.
And coffee.
I stayed up to watch the finale live last night as well, so I did a 2 a.m. I got up last night to watch it, went back to bed by 5, and then I had to sleep for an hour, be back up at 6 a.m. to go to work this morning. So
That's dedication.
Okay. I don't think that this is, like, healthy or safe or anything. Like, probably. I'm very skeptical. But hopefully you'll power through. Thank you for making the effort for us anyway. And
Who needs sleep?
Cool.
Not us. Not me. I'll just get coffee in the morning. It's fine.
So, Karen, do you want to kind of go into the points that we wanted to talk about before we... Obviously, we want you guys to guide us in what you want us to talk about. I mean, we've obviously got some opinions about the finale, but the hashtag, which we're all displaying on our ribbons, is what you should use mainly to interact with us and, you know, ask questions like, what did you think about this? Hey, what about that point? Etc. You know, we have a little bit of structured discussion in terms of, like, hopefully you can hear me over the plane. a little bit of discussion in terms of, you know, points we thought that we'd be talking about, but if you guys have questions, we'll open the floor up, you know, halfway through to fully be that, but if you have opinions about what we're saying, we'll sort of try and keep up with you and take the discussion to that place while we're talking about the points, the main points of the episode, which, Karen, do you want to talk about the, do you want to sort of start with those, or what did you want to do?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool.
So the first thing that really struck me in this episode was the opening, actually, and the, you know, Allison Scott and Styles going into, I guess it was heaven or some sort of, like, beyond.
You know where it was? It was
what?
King's Cross Bloody Station. It's the same, yeah. Like, it's exactly the same trope. Like, I always can't believe they did it, but, yeah, like,
I liked the stark white, like, background and stuff. I thought it was really interesting, but do you guys think it was, like, heaven, or was it, like, this place between that they just happened to go to because of this ritual they did?
I interpreted more as this place in between, so... Yeah, just to be able to try and find the location of the Nemeton. So that's what I saw it as, rather than...
I think it was something death-related, honestly, like... sorry. I think that it was, like... When I say King's Cross Station, I don't mean that as, like... I mean, it is a joke, but I also think it is the same kind of thing, like something happening... after death, but not so far that you can't come back from it. Maybe not like a heaven, like a, you know, a sort of paradise kind of place, but definitely something that is, yeah, a kind of waiting room after death, basically, to see what's going to happen. Or, you know, I don't know, the fact that the Nemeton was there and that they all sort of had that experience was quite strange, but, you know, all I can get in my head is the King's Cross Station, because it was my initial impression, really.
It's totally the pre-death waiting room.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, like, and the fact that they all, am I there? I just went off.
Yes.
The fact that they were there, like, with a task, also, you know, feels similar to, you know, what happened with Harry, and I would, you know, I would love to sort of have, I would love to have Jeff, you know, be like, is that a coincidence, or is that some sort of inspiration? Are people using the hashtag? I can see people at replying us, but I have not seen any hashtag, because I was trying to track it, so hang on, let's click the hashtag.
I've been told that we need to talk about Teen Wolf.
Oh,
we are.
Well, get off Twitter and stop talking about Teen Wolf. Okay, fair enough. So, look, I'm not very emotionally prepared for this. I saw some very distressing, like, you know, a softer world, like, you know, the softer world comics. I think people are familiar with those.
Yeah.
People in fandom make beautiful, depressing remixes of those for their fandoms, and I saw an incredibly depressing set of them this morning, and that was the first thing I saw when I woke up. So I was just like, it wasn't for Teen Wolf, it was for something else, but I was like, great, now I have to go live for the rest of my life having seen this. Thanks. They're the most depressing thing in the world. So, sorry, that's not about Teen Wolf. We'll move on.
Oh, this is a good question, though.
Cool. Yeah.
At Dulcet Frost asked, is that where Derek went after Lydia Wolfsbaned him? It did look really similar. Well. Yeah, because it was really white and everything. I mean, I don't think it was exactly the same because they were definitely in a room in the finale with, like, overhead lights and everything, but it is pretty similar.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I'm going to presume that this isn't going to be something that never comes up again because it seems like a bit of a big deal, you know, for it never to come up again. Just so everyone knows, someone in my house is about to open the door and close it, so if you hear a slamming, that's what it'll be. And hopefully a wild fox doesn't run in.
No, it totally should!
It does.
I could take the camera at a point to show everyone our exclusive interview with Teen Wolf 3B's, you know, superstar, the fox.
Yes! Yes.
I can take you to see the fox in a bit, but we'll talk about the episode.
That'd be so cool. I want to see the fox. That would be awesome.
We will get to foxes and season 3B, etc. after we have finished recounting season 3A, I guess. But anyway.
Yeah. So what did you guys think of the fact that everything sort of came back to season one? Because we get all those flashbacks of, like, Scott looking for his inhaler, finding the dead body, getting bitten by Peter, and then we see Stiles getting caught by his dad and Allison and her mom almost running into Scott, and then they all sort of back up into the Nemeton. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't see that coming. And I thought it was really cool how he threw everything back to season one.
No, I thought it was really cool as well, actually. I was like, oh. And I can't remember, did Scott nearly really get hit with the car? Or is that a scene that we never saw?
No, that happened in episode one. That's why I was like, holy crap. Like,
I was so like, I'm so, like, suggestible. Like, if you show me something, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that happened. But I can't remember if I was really remembering it or if I was just sort of filling it in. So I kind of really loved this effect. And I loved sort of everyone's acting in it. Like, I really loved how sort of weirdly grave everyone was. And it was really cool. I really liked it.
And Scott looked so different.
I know! I can't believe how different he looks. Like, was any of that stuff that they would have, like, had to reshoot the season one stuff and, like, put him in a wig or anything? Or was that all, like, season one footage that they sort of used?
I think
that was season one footage, except what about Allison?
And her mom in the car? Except for Allison and her mom.
Yeah.
Unless that was filmed, you know, 2 years, you know, a year or so ago, and then that just completely blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, no, we wanted to do this.
Well, at least they're planning something.
On that note.
So, yeah. Okay, this is something that kind of bothered me during the episode, and I'm not sure if it bothered anybody else, but they were basically out for 16 hours. Oh, and, like, they were dead for 16 hours.
Tram. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't... I was like, I thought they were going to be, like, minutes. Like
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I thought the same.
I don't know if it's like a cop-out, but I was quite shocked by it. I was like, oh, all right. Like, I don't understand how they lived through that. If they were they in like a coma or a trance? Like, it was really... If you were in a coma in a bucket of water, you die from drowning. Like, yeah. No.
The thing is, too, like, didn't we see them, like, actually come out of the water? So they were literally underwater for 16 hours.
Yeah.
But they were dead, like, so there was no need to
breathe. Deaton wasn't like, maybe we should get them out of there now.
Nope, nope, it's fine. No, it's two more hours and then we should check, but I think we're good.
Deaton is like, Deaton is like, he's honestly sometimes not that helpful. He's just like, oh yeah, that'll, you know, I don't know if he like has experience with these kind of things, but he doesn't have a great sense of urgency or concern for someone that's meant to be looking after things, but oh well.
Just 16 hours.
Meanwhile, what did they do for 16 hours? What did the rest of them do for 16 hours?
Yeah, were they just sitting there watching?
Did Deaton go out and buy lunch? what's going on?
It's like,
I gotta eat.
Yeah, I'm gonna come back to Starbucks.
Isaac was like... Isaac was, like, in the other room. Like, he wasn't even bothered to watch on them. He just, like, walked away.
Yeah, it's really...
Oh, Isaac.
Maybe he went shopping for a new scarf.
He had to have one for the funeral. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. I don't have a mourning scarf yet, guys. Hang on.
And all the malls at Beacon Hills are abandoned, so we had to go out of town.
Well, he did
for
have
real, though. If someone writes a really good fan fiction, like not, it could be funny, but I actually mean like a serious angsty fan fiction about like what happened during those 16 hours. Send it. Because yes. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Same.
Wow. Shout out to Pikachu Kittens, who says we're all so pretty. Thank you.
No, we don't have anything we can give you. We don't thank you, but we can offer you nothing.
I really like your Twitter handle, Pikachu Kittens. Yeah. That's really funny.
Makes me want to.
Sorry, that was... my shallow tweet of the night.
Vaughn says that there was a Scrabble tournament and Lydia won.
That's during probably 16 true. Hours.
Yeah. Sounds legit.
Headcanon accepted.
Boom.
Robbie says, Allison Scott and Styles are now mer people because they were under the water so long.
Something, aren't they? Like, I mean, that's such something that ties right to the end of the episode. Mer people, maybe, but very... I mean, I'm wondering if it, like, chipped away at, like, some of their, like, mortality or something. Like, if they're, like, weirdly invincible now or something like that.
That would be cool.
So, tortured and invincible. Interesting 3B.
Jeff said it was going to be even darker than 3A, so...
Did anyone actually see... I think it was the... Is it Entertainment Weekly online interview? Did anyone catch that?
Which one was that?
So it was posted like around mid-afternoon for me, but it talked a little bit about what it's going to do to Styles from when we come back in 3B. So I don't know if you've seen the quotes going around on Tumblr or Twitter, but it's saying that he's going to have a lot of trouble sleeping.
Well, I mean, I'm of the opinion, and this is going to jump right to the end of the episode, but there was a lot of, you know, discussion last week when they were talking about, like, oh, you're going to do this, but you're going to have this darkness. And people are like, oh, does that mean they're going to be, like, a bit evil, like, wrong, like, what the situation is? And I was like, no, I think it's going to be, like, depression, like darkness in the sense of, like, you know, not strictly mental health in, you know, the real world terms of it, but that they would be uncontrollably sort of unhappy and just not content with the world in a way that I really, and as soon as I saw the bit at the end of the episode when Scott and Stiles walked into the school at the end, I was like, yeah, I think that that's what it is, because they both looked like really rough, like they looked really wrung out, like people who you know are depressed and having trouble coping with the world, especially Stiles. Like Stiles, when he came up and sort of put his arm around Scott, and I don't think it was just like, oh, I've physically had some trauma. It was like the world drains me kind of thing, and I really think that that's what it's going to be like, and that's fun for everyone, I suppose.
And,
I don't know.
And now I will rewatch the end and probably cry. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, Jeff did hint that, like, 3B is going to be more psychological rather than kind of the physical action that we got from 3A. So that would probably tie right into that if they are going to be quite tortured and depressed and nightmares. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, because this is not another Teen Wolf podcast, you know, the official Buffy podcast of Hyperbole, it is also like it is also like Buffy coming back from the dead in season 5, like after she dies in season 5, where she doesn't. I mean, that was technically because she was happy and content and at peace while dead, and then sort of came back to the real world. But number one, she didn't come back human. Like, she was still technically human, but, like, her makeup was changed. And secondly, she was incredibly, depressed and found sort of no way of coping with the real world. And I'm just wondering if that will be a thing now as well. I don't know, especially with Stiles, as he it seems to has the least resilience. I mean, Allison and Stiles are both obviously human, but fucking plain. Sorry.
We're going to get fined for that.
Pardon?
We're going to get fined for that.
Are we?
No. Yes.
Do you know that there's some states in the USA where it is actually illegal to swear in a public place, and you can't, I think Florida, I was on like a tour, like a Warp Tour, if anyone knows what that is, like a music festival tour, and they had signs on at all the dates that were in Florida, they had like signs on the side of stage that were like, remember, you cannot curse on stage during your set, like you will be arrested. Like, and it was so weird. Like, it was just this one state that was like, I guess they have some special law about it, and it was really strange. So if you're in Florida, don't arrest us. anyway, moving on.
I'm the closest, so yeah. I'm in the most amount of trouble.
Stiles just seemed more affected, because what they were talking about, he was like, oh, Scott was like, I feel it every day, so does Stiles. But they're looking at Allison, like, perfectly happy with her new, you know,
giggling with
Isaac. Like, you know, and I'm like, so what with her issues, like, but so Stiles to me looked the roughest, but that is backtracking all the way to the end, so we can go through a few things until then.
Next point.
Yeah, Lydia was the next one, because I don't know, I thought this was really interesting in that when she goes over to Derek's apartment with Ethan, And Peter asks her, you know, what do you feel? And she says, I feel like I'm standing in a graveyard. And I just thought this was kind of different because, like, we knew that she finds dead bodies and she has, like, her scream and stuff like this. But I feel like this is her coming into her powers a bit more. But I still don't know what to make of it exactly. I mean, just because we put a name to her powers now, like, I still have no idea what she's capable of.
I kind of read that a little bit like she was sensing what could happen. So if Derek, if Cora stayed there, that it could have gone a completely different way and it could have ended up that they'd both have died in the apartment, and that's why she was sensing that if they stayed there, they could die. That's why she felt she was standing in a graveyard. That's how I interpreted it anyway.
Yeah, and so. I also think that the minute she kind of accepted and stopped fighting it and started letting it happen, she kind of opened herself up to a lot more. Like, not just the whole screaming, ending up in new places, not having any idea where I'm at, but, you know, the senses and stuff, I think it's gonna come to her the more she accepts it and is open to it, and I think that was just a way of showing that.
Yeah, I think it's the first hint that we've got that she's going to start being able to develop that more, the more she understands it, but, yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, I sort of was rewatching some of season 3 last night, and there'd definitely be times where she's shown up and known, yeah, she's known things. Like, you know, when both of the teachers were taken before Deaton was, when it was the philosophers, she kind of showed up technically before they were dead. She just kind of went to where they were, and we don't know if they were dead or not yet, especially when she sort of caught the chalk of the guy. So she must have been there right, like, as he was going to, you know, be taken or was taken. So,
yeah,
I mean, they keep saying, oh, she's not psychic, but I'm wondering if it's going to, be something like that she can predict, you know, the more in tune it is, that she can predict events. Okay. I feel like I've made too many Twilight references in the history of this podcast.
Considered
not a Twilight fan. I'm not a Twilight fan. I mean, I've read the books. I just read things and remember facts. So I've read them once, and so I remember these facts. I'm not in the Twilight fandom. I don't have particularly positive feelings about Twilight. But the powers, some of the vampires in Twilight have, like, their different powers, like, that they individually have. And Alice Cullen, her power is, like, she can see the future, but it changes, like, depending on the choices people make. So, like, I think that was kind of what it reminded me of, in the sense that she can sort of feel what might happen as things stand in time, but that it's not... I think the problem with, like, people being psychic and predict, oh, this is going to happen, like, in many things, it's like, well, what if someone makes a different choice? Does it just mean, you know, no matter what, it's going to end up at that solution? Like, you know, it's no matter what choices you make, that's where you're going? Or... And the difference with Alice that I've always found slightly interesting was that it, you know, she saw different outcomes depending on the different choices that people made. It wasn't like, oh, a fate. This is definitely what's going to happen. It's what happens if this happens. And that's kind of what I feel like it could be with Lydia as well.
Yeah. I don't entirely know if I think that, just because... In a way, the room kind of turned into a graveyard anyway, because she was left there with Jennifer and the twins died and Khalid died. So in a way, like, her prediction kind of came true still. And I kind of wonder if it's something similar to, like, the Delphic Oracle, because, like, we know they pull a lot from Greek mythology and stuff. And the thing with oracles is that you might not always think that, you know, like, you think they're saying one thing, but really it turns out to be a completely different thing. And so, like, we thought that if Derek and Cora stayed, they would die, but maybe, like, even though they left, you know, people died anyway. And, I mean, the twins came back, but they still had their neck broken.
Yeah. Just gonna, a few Twitter things. Robbie, stop talking about a musical episode of Teen Wolf.
Oh, but it's a great title. Once More with Angst.
I definitely do not have an Edward Cullen cutout in my computer room, but a good friend of mine has an Edward Cullen cutout that sits in the front window facing the street of her house and had someone... She's not even, like, she doesn't like Twilight. I don't know why she has it, but someone came up and, like, spoke to her about it. Like some little old lady was like, there's a man in your house. Very bad. Lance, I don't know what the technical law is about the Florida thing, but it was definitely a thing when we were on tour. There is a certain law. It may be certain in certain circumstances, but there is a certain law somewhere there. It might not even be everywhere in Florida. It might only be in certain counties or something. But there were signs and, like, policemen everywhere, like, for people who, like, they had their set cut, they were fined and stuff like that if they swore on stage. So I don't know what the specifications is of that. I see that you say you've lived in Florida and there's no such law. There's something somewhere, because it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen, and I remember it very, very clearly. So I don't know about that, but yeah, Once More with Angst is already the title of Teen Wolf. So, you know.
Or it's the title of this episode.
Oh, good. Are the twins still alphas now that they've sort of died and come back? Because you kind of get the impression that they're sort of in Scott's pack now, like, from what it is at the end. That's what... That was from Ashley Rikustag. So, you know, did they technically die and come back, or were they just very injured? Because they didn't have to have a whole resurrection like Peter.
I didn't take it as they died, but, I mean, I need to rewatch. I don't know. I miss everything. But
you know what, though? I think it was on Revelations. Didn't one of the twins say that the... what did we call him, Twinzilla, that he died, but then once they separated, like, the twins lived.
So they're out. So maybe they can't.
Oh, maybe they can't do Twinzilla anymore.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't mind that, because Twinzilla's freaking ugly. How ugly Duquesne is as the demon wolf, though.
Oh, I thought it was kind of cool, though.
It was so gross. And there's no explanation for why he's like that, except that he's blind. I don't get it. Like, what happened there?
Because we never
find out.
Maybe
he was warped by killing all the alphas. It's a negative reaction, whereas you had Talia, who was, you know, this gorgeous wolf, and she's, you know, pure or whatever, or as far as we know. And then there's Deucalion, who gained his power not so innocently, and then he started killing alphas as well, and I'm sure that that's going to have a reflection on his wolf, just like, what are you laughing at?
Me? She's laughing at me raising my hand.
Definitely raised her hand.
I'm sorry, just a second. Let me go. And then, okay, I'm done now, that's it. Go ahead, it's fine.
What alphas did he kill?
Didn't he kill Innes?
One.
No. But although I guess before that.
We were rewatching this last
night. We don't know what he looked like before that, though.
True. Maybe he's just ugly. We were watching this last night, and look, he killed. I don't understand what happened, because he said, I killed all my... you know, I killed my whole pack. I killed my one beta, and then I killed my whole pack. But didn't Gerard kill his whole pack, and then Marco, that one guy, was, like, left, and then he killed him because he, like, challenged him? Or did he have a bigger pack than the people he brought to meet Gerard?
Wait, what?
You lost me too.
You said Gerard.
Gerard
has a pack. I don't understand.
No. In the flashback, where Gerard goes to meet Deucalion in the distillery in episode 8, where he kills everyone that's there and then he blinds Deucalion, right? Mm-hmm. Were those people not Deucalion's pack? Like, didn't Gerard kill Deucalion's pack, not Deucalion? And Deucalion just killed Marco when Marco challenged him for being blind? Or do we think Deucalion had a bigger pack than the people he took to meet Gerard? Because he told everyone he killed all his pack, but we really only know that he killed Marco, and then we saw Gerard kill the rest of his pack. So do you think he, like, talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk?
That's a good question. I think.
I still don't understand what Deucalion has done that's that evil. I mean, he's psycho, but we haven't seen him do much, you know, until he morphed into the ugly wolf.
That's true, but Morel said that he had been piling up bodies for a long time trying to get the perfect pack. So I think, like, maybe he's just killed so many people that, yeah, it, like, turns you evil and you turn into the demon wolf.
Yeah, see, Yvonne's just said Deucalion was the most benign bad guy ever. He was. He was so, like... Even I was watching the scene again where Derek, like, died, like, where they thought Derek died in the flashback episode, and he literally does nothing. He stands on the escalators and just, like, watches and just, like, yeah. We never see him, like, wolf out, obviously, until the final episode. And we see him, like, kind of have that, like, cane fight with Scott, which is all very classy and everything. And we see him whip the twins with a pointy stick. We don't see him do anything else, like, evil or violent. So I'm really confused, basically. And the fact that
he said for Peter this first half of the season as well, and we all know what going on in there.
Well, I'm really
maybe
I don't feel like that was very well done. But anyway, we'll get there. What other things are important?
Okay, so yeah, Kali died. Jennifer killed Kali. Are we happy or sad to see her go?
That was sad. Just very sudden.
Yeah.
I don't think I had time to be sad. I was, oh, there she is.
I was
there
like, oh, that happened. And then the twins as well. Though I was like, are they really dead? I thought they were coming back. Are they really dead? And there's been lots of times where people have died in the show. And I've been like, oh, yeah, they're probably going to come back. But I was
that
not
brings
sure.
up.
I didn't know for a fact about the twins. I thought Jeff might have been like, oh, actually, we're going to kill them. And I was, the whole time, I was like, are they going to come back to life? Are they going to come back to life? Like, what? And so, yeah, I was on hanging on bated breath. Kali, I found interesting that Jennifer kind of, like, threw all of those, like, things at her, like, messed up her face the way that her own face was messed up. So that was fun.
Oh. Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's interesting.
Not that, you know, Kali lived to see the results, but...
I'm kind of sad that Kali died just because I feel like in the last couple of episodes, we've gotten a lot more about her, and she kind of was really fleshed out into more of a real person, I think, than some of the other characters. And I would have really have liked to have seen more with her and Julia, or even... Yeah, because I guess, like, you know, she had a bad relationship with Jennifer. But, like, prior to her killing Julia, I would have liked to have known more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually... Yeah, it was sort of a bit of a random... Not random, but a bit of a surprise. And, you know, and it's definitely something that, yeah, could have had more of a story. But as we know, all know, it... You know, this show, you can
think more of a means to an end.
Is literally dead and buried, and then, oh, hello, I'm on the show again, you know. So we shall have to wait and see, I guess. But, you know, they're both, you know, both Jennifer and Kali were, you know, sort of very strong characters introduced this season. So I don't know if they're just going to keep adding more strong characters or find a way to, like, use these people again in some way.
I know a lot of people are really wanting, they're kind of thirsty for it. More information and background on the ones we've already got, which, you know, there's a lot about a lot of these minor ones that I think would be great to focus on, but how much it would really aid to the story in 3B, that's something we don't know, but
yeah.
I guess we'll see.
A prequel spin-off series, web series about Carly and Jennifer being BFFs back in the
It'll
day.
Be a comic. We will have a comic.
Just to make yourself traumatized about the fact that she, you know, they kill each other.
Didn't Felicia say spinoff show on Twitter? And I kind of freaked out.
Yeah,
we'll hold her to that. No, somebody had made the comment, Emma, she said, basically mentioned you'd said the twins when you saw that they had died. You're like, well, holy crap, I thought, you know, kind of knowing spoilers ahead of time as far as casting, we know that Adelaide, you know, got cast in CW for that reign, and so that's kind of like, oh, well, she's either going to die or she's going away. Like, how does that impact you viewing? Because we already knew that the twins were, well, I mean, we had an idea that they were still on set for 3B, and then, you know, then we know Cora's character is probably not going to come back unless something happens with Rain. But how did that affect your viewing? Did you kind of watch it and say, oh, no, the twins aren't dead, they're coming back? Like, it didn't even bother you?
I was confused with the twins. I was like, but they're coming back. They've got to be, and so, but they're coming back, right? Like, so I was like, I was kind of waiting for them to, like, come back to life, but I wasn't 100% sure. I was like, they're coming back, right?
No, they are.
Yeah. Cora, I was a little bit annoyed because I don't know why they tried to take it to a Styles place if it wasn't going to go anywhere. Like, because they really seem to vibe it up. Maybe they know she's coming back later or something like that. Maybe she filmed her series and then is going to be in, like, the last few episodes of season 3 and that they know that they're going to get her back occasionally. But I don't know. I was a bit like when they started sort of going there in, you know, the last few episodes with those kind of, ooh, Styles has some feelings.
She's not even going to go here much longer.
And then we had the thing with Lydia, with the kiss, which obviously wasn't meant to be, a declaration of romance, but from her reaction to it obviously means that something...
I think it could go either way.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think Cora is a character that could come back. I would love to, you know, I think that Jackson is a character that could and should come back at a time. I miss Jackson so much that I can't handle it. I love him so much. He's so awful, but I love him.
We're just going to have to move on now.
No! one day Arrow will flop and they will realize the mistake that they have made.
I'm not touching that. I'm not touching it.
One thing about Cora, though, I kind of wonder if Jeff purposely set it up so that, like, we got this vibe that maybe they had feelings for each other and that Styles definitely did with that line about, you know, next time you better be awake. And then she went away to sort of, like, you know, it's one more terrible thing for Styles to have to deal with, and now he probably feels really alone. Because we know that there's going to be a lot of, like, psychological and emotional issues in the upcoming season. So I can see them doing it on purpose, like, giving him this possibility and then just taking it away.
Karen!
All right, okay, I'm done. Bye, guys.
Done.
Yeah, no. Excuse us, no. We need a minute. Thanks.
Okay. Like, it's 2 a.m. I'm not equipped to deal with those kinds of feelings. What?
Anyway, God.
Next topic.
Scott's dad. He's a douche.
Next.
I will okay. Say from, like, jump right to the end of the episode, I loved him slamming the door in his dad's face.
And I loved him being like, oh, this is really bad, but lol.
That's right.
Melissa
right
around the corner just giggling into her hands.
Scott's face, God's though, like, mom. He deadpanned mom. That, and he was just like, no, and he shut it. It was brilliant.
I mean, what happened between either him and Scott, or Melissa and him, like, whatever the man's name is, Mr. Agent McCall.
Raphael, isn't it supposed to be Raphael?
Yeah, let's someone's named right in
Rafe
on his
McCall.
IG ad.
That sounds terrible.
I know.
I'm going to call him Rafe.
Rafe McCall and Melissa, I wonder what happened between them, or what happened, like, between Scott and his dad to make Scott so, like, nope, like, you... And even Styles to be like, nope. Yeah. Like, you know...
Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of love lost between the sheriff and...
Yeah,
so,
so I don't know what the hell is
on screen.
I really hope so too, because my feeling, or what I feel, is that, you know, maybe when he was still with Melissa, still in Beacon Hills, he wasn't going to be FBI. So did he work with the Beacon Hills Police Department?
Yeah, because this is something I keep being like, oh, so his dad is FBI, so he's a cop, like. What happened, like, why have they never talked about, them being, like, police children together? Like, you know, it's just, that shocked me more than anything, that they were, you know, that they had this in common and that it's never been mentioned.
Maybe there's a reason. I don't know, maybe they're just, Scott's sensitive to it, and Styles respects that, and it's just an unspoken thing, like, hey, your dad's an ass. We're not going to talk about it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, because Facebook's not loading, I have to do this here, but Nat, do you think you can send a link to Kyle? He can come say hi for a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'll invite him. I should have him on here. Invite people. Let's see. Yeah, okay, I've sent an invite to him if he's going to drop in. That's fun.
Yay, sweet. Random guest stars.
Let's see some... Yeah, we've invited, like, a bunch of people to, like, drop in if they... so desire it. Are any of you worried about what's going to happen between Agent McCall and Melissa in the next 12 episodes from Jennifer Smith?
Jen, woo!
Yes.
I'm worried about whether we'll see it or not.
Yeah.
I think we will. I think it's going to be a big part.
Yeah. The way they brought him in, I would really hope that he's going to be a prominent figure in next part of the season, so... I'm remaining optimistic.
I've been I'm quite surprised. Like, I was quite surprised that he showed up and that. I thought he was going to be, like, from the way that people always talked about Scott's dad, I thought he was going to be, like, a deadbeat. And, I mean, he might be emotionally, if you know what I mean, but he is clearly someone respected in the community. I thought he was going to have gone off and, like, spent all their money on a gambling problem or something random. Like, you know, that
Hi,
he...
Kyle.
Something. Hi, Kyle! Hello!
Hey guys.
Okay, he's at work right now.
I'm supposed to be answering phone calls right now, but shh.
Rebel. I like it.
You know, this illegal activity is caught on tape. This is going on YouTube.
Oh, well.
No one tell.
He's like, you can't see my name.
Tell people where I work. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation.
No, you're fine. What did you think about the mid-season finale?
It was amazing. I loved it. It was really well done, and the opening scene was awesome. And yes. I loved the way that they wrapped everything up, but, like, still left it really open, and it was fantastic. And I have the same questions that you wrote about, all the 10 questions that you have about the finale. I'm just like, yes. The only thing that annoyed me was Peter. I hated Peter. Peter just needs to go away.
I don't hate him. I hate where what they're doing with him now, because I am so angry. Not angry, but...
Because yes, you're in love with Peter.
I'm not in love with Peter. I'm just in love with characters like Peter.
Okay. All right.
I see where you're coming from, but in a way, I am really ready for him to get, like what... he's acted like an ass. And he's obviously been up to something. Yes, I love the sass. It's great. It's fun. But he keeps getting, like, he's up to something and he keeps getting away with things. And I just want to see him suffer the
consequences. Get his comeuppance.
Just a little bit.
I don't, because I don't want him to have this final, like, oh, you're a bad guy. We're going to kill you kind of thing. Like, or we're going to have to take you down. Stop trying to be evil, Peter. It didn't work for Spike. It's not going to work for you.
Is it too late for redemption? For Peter, do we think?
Like,
no?
I think he's...
Don't compare him to Spike. Please, don't.
Well, what are you going to... Like, what are you going to do? Like, he was evil. They took him down. He's now stuck with them. They brought him back. He's harmless and stuck with them. And he sits around making unhelpful, sassy comments and then ends up helping them anyway. It is like Spike, and so I can't have him go and be evil. Like, it's just not okay. Kyle, I think you've got no sound.
The great Peter debate.
Oh, no, I muted myself because there's Apple stuff happening.
Good, good.
Oh, okay.
I knew it. I was actually terrifying you to go, is that... That's... It is. I recognize that room.
Probably
the
same in every store in every country.
I'm same thing, different country. Yeah.
nice. That's awesome.
A lot of people are saying that Jeff said that we'll see what happened between Melissa and Mr. Rafe McCall and why they divorced, and that he would be an antagonist.
That is my new OTP.
What?
No!
What? No,
Scott's
Sheriff mom and Melissa. Sheriff Stalinski.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh. Oh, maybe I was understanding the wrong thing. No. FBI guy.
No.
FBI guy can go away.
Sperm donor. Come on.
Yeah.
And then Emma has said episodes 3 to 5 of 3B are Halloween. I don't know if she said this because it's fact or if she's hoping for it. I presume
they've been talking about the Halloween episode.
What costume will the characters have? Calling it now, Styles will have werewolf makeup. He will do their wolf as his costume. Because I think he wants to get into the makeup, like, so much.
Yeah.
And, I think they mentioned, didn't Jeff and Scott were on MTV Geek, I think it was, at New York Comic Con last year, pretty sure Jeff was talking about this, and he was saying somebody suggested it or something, but it was brought up that, I think that he's going to be in werewolf makeup, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But is it going to be more 1980s Teen Wolf?
Oh, please!
Oh, oh, my God! Imagine if they do that! Like...
Oh, now I will forever be ruined if it's not.
Yeah.
Oh,
I kind of want it to be the humor of him doing, like being like, lol, I'm you guys, and no one knows it's real.
He's
but
gonna
like,
have a shirt that says I'm the alpha now.
But I also want him to have the 80s, with the basketball uniform.
Yeah, with the basketball. Oh,
that would be great.
Everybody's like dreamy sigh, like.
So speaking of Scott's dad, Allison throws a smoke bomb at him and the other agents, which was really, really cool. But I really have to wonder if there's going to be some sort of like repercussions for this because they were FBI agents.
And have they done a crime now, these children?
I was just like, how do you not expect her to use one of those weapons against you right now?
They just sat there like, oh, wow, she knows so much about
guns.
Yeah,
when she started naming them, I would have been like, guys.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I mean, if Scott's dad's in charge of it, he can potentially, he could potentially try and, be like, oh, get them off or whatever. Like, as in not have them prosecuted. But Willie, I feel like he's going to, try and, put Styles in juvie or something like that.
Is this something he's going to remain in the dark on, though? I mean, it seems all the parents... Yeah, like, for all we know, he could be, like, informed within the first episode. Like,
yeah, I mean, that was something, actually, my roommate was like, they were like, she was like, have they done, like, a Men in Black style thing on the show with, like, a group of, like, humans or the government that know about this world? No, we haven't had that on the show, obviously.
No, we haven't had that at all, but that would be
But maybe that's what he is.
I feel
the closest thing that we've had was the hunters who were on the police force that knew about it, but I think that's the closest we've ever gotten to something like that.
Yeah. So is that something that you'd be interested in? Like, if there's, like, a special secret branch of the FBI or, like, Torchwood-style thing about the werewolves? Or do you think that's what the hunters count as, even though they're sort of outside the law?
I feel like they can definitely go kind of like the Vampire Diaries Mystic Falls route, where, like, they have a council of people in the town who know about, like, these villains and, like, try to, like, get rid of them and stuff. And so, like, that would be really interesting. But then at the same time, they don't want to go and copy, like, Vampire Diaries or, like, Torchwood and stuff. So, like, yeah. I don't know. Because they're trying to be as original as possible.
There's only a few ways, you know, there's a limited amount of ways that you can sort of handle, oh, who knows about the supernatural thing, but they are trying to be quite unique about it, so, yeah.
I mean, there's a joke about Torchwood over here that is basically like, you just stand in the middle of the street and go, oh no, there's something weird going on, I wonder who can help us? Torchwood, looking
and,
straight
and Torchwood
at.
Will show up.
Yeah. Because they're so not subtle about anything that they do ever. Everyone knows about Torchwood in that show.
Yeah,
everyone.
In Cardiff especially. I love that they play that in. They're like, yeah, that's Torchwood.
Yeah, who ordered pizza under... yeah. So I don't think it'll go that far.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll go Torchwood far. But... yeah, being
yeah,
someone
see,
who...
initiative is, yeah, like in Buffy, Robbie's just said the initiative. Crap, is Riley and Adam going to show up? I really hope not. God, Riley's useless. The big question is what will happen to Styles' Jeep now that it's been trashed from Camira Alexandra. Is he going to get a mom car like Derek, please?
No, oh my God. I will boycott.
Can we please have the Camaro back? Please.
What happened to it? I mean, I know it's not a Toyota, so it's not welcome on the show, but, like,
I like
Mark's
joke. You come to Beacon Hills, you trade in a Camaro, you get two Toyotas. So, I mean, logistically, he was just trying to make sure Cora had a car. That's...
Hashtag, visit Beacon Hills, get a free Toyota.
Yes, it's special.
Yeah. Anyway, Camaro.
Do you guys see Kyle trying to be super covert over there? Because it's hilarious.
He's like, meanwhile, I'm working.
Like, don't tell the world. I'm sorry.
That's going to be a game later. Try to figure out what he's talking about.
Oh,
no, you need no point for that.
But do you guys think that what do you guys think is going to be a final pairing, Lydia and Aiden or Lydia and Styles?
That's a loaded question right there.
Yeah, that's
right?
A really good question.
Right?
I think there was a going back to the interview that was posted on, I think it's the same one. I think it was Entertainment Weekly, because there were two that were posted this morning. But on that, Jeff mentioned that they are going to go into the Aiden and Lydia relationship more, and they are going to deal with the fact that he is not a good guy, and Lydia sees herself as a good person, and on the side of wanting to help people. So that's going to create a lot of tension between them, apparently.
Oh!
So
is Aiden going to be evil still?
That's what I got from the interview.
Yeah.
Maybe I read it that she's just dealing with the after effects. Like, you can't just be good all of a sudden and then have no repercussions. I'm sure, you know, something's going to come back and bite him in the ass, and she's going to have to deal with that as well. So...
I mean, you've got to think that, you know, that final scene where they're all buddy-buddy and everyone's nice and then yay, love.
When he comes back, he's like, oh, I knew you liked me a bit, and, and you know, kisses her wrist and stuff. The thing is, people can... here's the issue. This might be interesting to deal with. Someone can be quote-unquote evil and do bad things and be like a vicious killer or have not very many ethics. Those people can still seriously fall in love. And it would be interesting if Aiden really was in love with Lydia, but was also technically actually really bad, if you know what I mean. But his feelings for her were genuine.
Oh, kind of like, sorry for another Vampire Diaries reference, but kind of like Klaus and Caroline on Vampire Diaries. For those who don't know, Klaus is like an evil villain who like murders people and like cuts people's heads off, and like, but he actually has like fallen in love with one of the characters on the show, and like he tries to win her heart over, but at the same time he's still being evil, and he's like, that's just who I am, just accept me, just love me. So maybe Aiden will just be like that.
Yeah,
because it could be really interesting, like a really different thing for the show to do rather than her changing him, or even like him changing her. They both kind of stay who they are, but they know they still have feelings for each other.
They better not have wrecked Styles' Jeep so they can replace it with a Toyota. I'll be pissed from the show of Ravenclaw 1991. Yeah. It will be. It'll be.
The Jeep will be back.
It'll be like a boring Toyota sedan, and it'll have like child locks. And, you know.
What, to stop the other guy? I can't think about it. Out of the back of the car?
I can't. We have to change the topic, guys.
Corby's like going to expire from grief.
No.
I've just got to say, there are so many... they did not used to do this badly. I mean, they've always had the product placement of like, oh yeah, I'm holding up my phone or whatever, and I don't care about product placement. The thing I was talking about is like, oh, I've seen that product placement, and the only reason that we notice it so much in TV shows is because in other TV shows, they go out of their way to not product place if they don't have the rights to use something. But in real life, you see brands all the time. You see people walking down the street with, like, a can of Coke or Reese's or whatever. It's only in the medium of, like, film and TV that you don't see brands, and so when you do see it, it kind of sticks out so much. I didn't care about, like, the Reese's and the phones and all of that. I'm like, yeah, that's normal. Like, you know, just because other companies cover the Apple symbol on their computers when they open it and this one doesn't or whatever doesn't mean that... Like, that, I see the Apple symbol in real life every day, so it's not that weird. But the Toyotas, the way they keep pulling up in, like, the angle of a car ad is, like, killing. In, like, the last four episodes of the season, there were so many, like pulling, like, parking the car, like, in that diagonal shot that is literally, like, how it sits in the car ad. I was just like, guys, I don't care if you're using the Toyota. I don't care if you're at the driving, like, the steering wheel and you can see the brand on the steering wheel, but stop pulling it into shot like that. It's really bad.
Have you seen the commercials yet? Like, the actual Toyota commercials with the actors?
I saw Derek one.
Is Kyle gone? Is he dead? Did we kill him?
I'm guessing.
Gone back to work.
Bye.
Thanks for stopping by.
Maybe he had to like emergency close.
Yanya's taking advantage of that.
No! Are we going to the Google Effects place? Oh God. Anyway, what else happened in the episode? Trashing the Jeep, when Styles was dying in the Jeep and not responding, was anyone else worried?
He
was just knocked out. Yeah. It's a mild concussion. Considering he got back up and ran to the Nematon. I'm assuming he ran. We don't know how far away from it he crashed the Jeep, but seeing as Isaac couldn't smell his blood, I'm guessing it was a fair distance away.
Isaac's senses are a little skewed sometimes to be, you know, he still hasn't gotten a grip on those, so there is no telling what else he was smelling.
Okay, so someone, Camille Alexandra again. It would be amazing, though, if they can trap Supernatural Creature of the Week with child locks. Did I put this crown on myself, or did someone else put it on me?
I think you yep. put it on yourself, and you didn't even realize.
Wait. But we're going to leave it.
Yeah.
Hey! I don't want to wear a crown. I've got my Harry Styles beanie on. I can't wear a crown.
Oh, God.
Next topic.
I approve of the Harry Styles beanie. I think that's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the big battle, you guys.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Oh, my goodness. For a second, I was like, wait, what big battle? I don't...
like, what season 3 has been leading up to for 12 episodes?
Just that.
So it was Deucalion and Scott, like Team Deucalion Scott versus Team Jennifer and Derek. And
which isn't really Team Jennifer.
Purple werewolf versus evil, chopped up alien witch person.
Yeah. They have a flower crown. Can I wear a flower crown? Is that a thing they have?
Oh, wow.
Okay. 2013 Google Hangouts. You need a flower crown. That's what people are going to want. Sorry.
Okay. I'm wearing this because I'm a shipper.
That's going to be screen capped, and like somebody's going to post that. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Deucalion, Jennifer takes Derek as a guardian. Like, oh, I need the power of a guardian. I can either kill these people to have the strength of guardians, or you can come and be my guardian. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
it was...
that confused me. The only thing that I can think of where, like, that would work would be, like, maybe because he volunteered to do it, that it would have, like, more power or at least the same amount of power.
But is it, like, because he's the guardian of Korra, or does she mean, like, it's actually literally he's choosing to be her guardian? Like, I don't really understand. Well, you can do backgrounds. Whatever this is.
I don't know. This is something that's really confused me. What do you listeners think? Tweet us, because I have no idea.
People are going to hate us after this, guys.
No. Why would they?
We're so sorry.
If we weren't meant to use them. Like, I just, you know, I don't understand.
Don't leave me, Court. We're the only normal ones left.
Don't be a fun vampire. Come on.
Normal is a very subjective term, but I'll take it.
I look away from the screen for 2 seconds, and I just see Natalie. And, like, what? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God, my hat is, like, green screening. What the hell? Sorry, anyway. Very important Teen Wolf discussion. Dylan had to go shoot his movie. What had that got to do with... I don't understand what's that got
to do with. I think that's why he wasn't in the episode as much as we probably expected him to be.
Oh, so, in this episode. I didn't really notice him not being in the episode that much.
I don't know if
was
you guys...
Not in the episode that much?
It was limited in comparison. Right.
Did you guys see the... I don't know if you talked about this, but when he was dry and his hair was, like, over his forehead, and he's like, hey, like, and I was just like, oh, you look so dorky. It's adorable.
That's
like,
how he's going to look in the main runner, so...
Somebody calls him Fluffy, and I thought that was very appropriate.
Yeah, Fluffy. Yes, I like Fluffy.
Okay, I need to stop with these Google things. Okay, oh, I've just got rid of it, and now I don't know how to make it go away.
I have a lot of Teen Wolf feels, but I have to go because I'm, like, paranoid. Oh, my God, the hat. Oh, mm-hmm. Anyway.
Thank you so much for coming.
It was fun chatting with you guys.
Yeah.
All right, bye, guys.
Bye. Here, remove all effects. Oh, I'll start being normal.
That was his supervisor.
Somebody just walked up behind him, not really working.
Supervisor.
Oh, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Trust me. He'll be all right.
Yeah, anyway, okay. Derek, Guardian. I mean, is it just did she get any power from him, or was it literally just that he was there to fight for her and stuff like that? She seemed to really... When she came in and she was like, I did this for Earth, does she still seriously... Here, a prime example of, like, people being evil and twisted but still in love. Their love might not be healthy, but it still exists. And I'm not saying Derek loves her. Derek clearly thinks she's mental. But she seems to really love Derek. And then on the flip side, she's like, oh, I'm going to use you. And, you know, but he, she obviously knows that he doesn't. Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Natalie looks like the sun in the Teletubbies right now. From what I had known that.
Oh, gosh. If anybody is just listening and they're not watching, like, later this week, they're going to be so confused, but it's going to be so awesome.
The thing with Jennifer is that she's absolutely crazy. So, yeah, I think she really did sort of think that she was doing the right thing in terms of Derek, which sounds really weird to us, but, I mean, yeah, no. She's kind of nuts.
Yeah, no, no, I totally know what you mean. And then Derek, someone said, I don't understand why Derek decided to fight with her. It makes no sense. I mean, he went there and he said to Scott, like, he wasn't like, lol, I'm on your side right now. But victory sex about what? Yvonne, I was like, what? I don't think Jennifer and Derek are going to be having any victory sex. Scott, usually when you see someone like sort of change alliances and they show up and face the person, it's like, oh my God, you know, like how could you? But the fact that Scott actually says like, oh, sorry, that Derek actually says, I'm actually doing this to help you, if you can believe it. and it's not like either Deucalion or Jennifer was like super fun and happy times. So I don't know. It was a little bit confusing though. So I don't know. Jennifer and Derek, man, it's really...
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one word for it.
That's their Facebook relationship status now. It's complicated. Or at least it's complicated for her. For him, he's like, single, nope, done. She's like, no,
yeah,
no, forever.
I mean, yeah, so basically, I mean, we have, you know, that whole battle, and they kind of get to the point where they're taking down, you know, they take down Deucalion pretty much, and they're like, she like bashes his head into the floor, which is pleasant. But prior to that, aside from his like weird cement face, which we don't know if that's just like, ooh, the person you are, you know, reflects the shape you take or whatever the hell their tagline is, or if it's just, you know, I'm still so stuck on what the hell Deucalion's done that's that bad, but except for apparently kill a bunch of people that we never, like, saw. Not that that makes him okay, but, you know, we've seen Jennifer do so much worse, and I just don't understand why. I mean, they say to her at a point, they're like, you keep saying this is, like, for the greater good of everyone, that you're protecting everyone from all these people forever, but we know that your motive is really revenge. Like, when Scott's like, come and meet us here on his little video phone thing. So do we think that Jennifer's, it is just about the revenge and not about, like, that all of her talk, that even if she kind of thinks, oh, I'm doing this for the greater good, either it's, like, an outright lie or an unconscious lie and that it is actually all just personal?
I think it's an unconscious thing, but the thing is like, why is she so focused on how she looked before? She's like, okay, well, you need to see what you did to me. You need to see how you messed up my face. Look, you know what it takes to look normal? I hope you're not thinking the most superficial thought. It was very...
Yeah, yeah. I feel like she was just really vain and really annoyed about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh. Guys, feel free to give us some input here.
All right, no. Look,
the one thing that really amused me, like, out of everything, she had a countdown on her phone.
Oh, yeah, to the countdown to killing time.
Is that an app we can all download? I'd be interested. I mean, I'd pay $1.99, I guess.
That just really amused me. You know, now you can count down to birthdays, anniversaries, and ritual sacrifices.
Would you like to stop and rate us? 5 stars.
It's important. All right.
So,
get back on track.
Moving on.
Track.
Yeah.
To one of the biggest things in this episode, which was that we finally found out that there indeed is more than one baseball bat in Beacon Hill.
That's it, done. We can cut this episode off.
It's
now.
At least two.
At least.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Saving the day.
I got nothing
with
else.
With aluminum baseball bat. I got nothing. It was beautiful.
It was. We're going to have to, you know, agree silently.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jennifer healing Deucalion's sight, though, so he can see her. Like we just said, it's like a weird vanity thing.
Yeah.
Someone's just said, I also don't get why she healed his sight. That was very strange to me, considering she wanted to kill him. You know, so she just, like, literally healed him back to life. Like, it, and it didn't, and then, you know, she let him, you know, he basically got to kill her after that. So, I mean, that was weird, and that was, like, a weird manipulation moment of Derek to be all, like, kind of, like, tender to her as well, you know? Like, he clearly didn't give a damn about whether Deucalion saw or not. I think it was just like, oh, this is a moment, this is a way to make her kind of weak, and also maybe, like, if Deucalion can see, then he can, you know, if she heals him, then he can get up and kill her kind of thing, and it was probably the most manipulative thing I've seen Derek do.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, but not being blind anymore does not mean that you're not evil, and I get why Derek and Scott let him go, because that's very much in character with them, but, like, we're not honestly meant to believe that Deucalion is, like, normal now, right?
I'm trying to make sense of it in my head. She healed him. She gave him back his sight. Okay, but did she take or give anything else back in return? This is something I should have wrote down to word
better. I don't know what you mean exactly.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I'm not wording it right. Like, okay. Okay, she healed him because of the healers, right? She was able to heal him.
I guess.
Right, because we know that she took powers from each group of sacrifices.
Yeah.
Okay, would she have had the ability to take away some of his own power?
Really?
Right.
Really? You're going to... Okay. I was like, you're going to eat in front of us?
She's settling in while I try to explain myself, which is not working very well.
I'm listening.
But, like, could she reverse any of his own powers? Like,
not put make him back, less evil.
Put him back to what he was before he was blinded. All the demon wolf stuff.
I don't know. Because after he was healed, he looked so much less evil. Like, he looked so, like, vulnerable, and he was all, like, and, like, I don't know, like, it was weird. And he was all, like, he had his, like, little, like, clingy shirt, and he just looked really, like, yeah, like, kind of reborn in a way. And yeah. I don't know. I don't get it. Like,
I was trying to make sense of it, but it's, yeah, we're just going to have to move on. But, yeah, anyway.
He's just going to be able to see more people to kill them now. Yeah. that's what I took from it. I was just like, but now he's going to be able to do that better than he was doing it before. Surely.
Yeah. I mean,
don't try to make sense of it. Don't try to make sense of it.
Just, I mean, they hardcore threatened him. They were like, you know, if you do anything, you're not going to see us coming, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever.
I think they did it just so they could put that threat in
there. They just wanted to use their line.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, is he just free to go now and live in the world and be redeemed?
He's going to get a job at Starbucks.
Okay. Obviously, yeah.
I mean, he's got to pay the bills.
There definitely needs to be more. I don't think that it's going to end like this. Even if they just put, like, some lines in the next half of the season, I don't think that this is literally where they're stopping Deucalion's story, because he was one of the major villains for 12 episodes, and nothing kind of came of it. He didn't get Scott. Go ahead, Courtney. I see you wanting to talk.
Same could be said for Jackson and the Canima, though.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, no, he's gone.
But, like, okay, if we're going to, like, compare Deucalion to, like, Peter, like, at the end of the episode with Peter, like, do you really think that, like, Deucalion is someone who can, like, apparently, based on all of these murders he did and everything and all of his craziness and his, like, you know, death destroyer of worlds, we're going to trust that guy, like, thing. Peter never said he was death destroyer of worlds. Like, who do you think is, like, more redeemable, like, or would have the better redemption plot, like, Peter or Deucalion?
I don't think we know enough yet about Deucalion. We have not much more backstory on Peter, but we do have a little bit more. So, but then again, he's always seemed to be kind of like a smug ass, so I don't know.
I would honestly say Deucalion, because we saw his backstory, and we know how good of a person he was prior. Mm. And Peter, to me, has always been super manipulative, so I think he always sort of has something up his sleeve, whereas Deucalion might be able to go back to what he used to be.
But people who think they're righteous and stuff, they make, like, the scariest evil people. Like, so... I mean, case in point.
I think I just saw what you saw, Donya.
Yeah. Deucalion is going to be a Toyota salesman.
Wait, what?
If you go on hashtag, Robbie just put Deucalion is going to be a Toyota salesman.
Probably.
He's got this. He's got this. Oh my goodness. Jennifer took away his gargoyle face.
Well, I hope so. Anyway. Deucalion, what was I going to say? Peter, things, can't remember, stuff. Baseball.
Redemption, who's more redeemable?
I don't want Peter to be redeemed at all. I don't think he deserves that kind of character arc, and I don't think he would want to be redeemed either. I don't think that's where his character's going, because, you know, he's out for number one. His interests are him, and then him. So, you know, though that said, he did drive Derek out of town, so...
Excuse me for a second.
Okay.
Is she making a dramatic exit, or is she...
This is not a keg. It is a vintage biscuit tin. Thank you,
oh my God.
Biscuit tin tower. Someone just tweeted me being like, is that a keg in your kitchen?
Yes,
she's
drunk.
Special shaped object. No,
she's
it is
drunk,
not
guys.
A keg in my kitchen. Thank you very much.
yeah.
Not a keg.
Can you walk
what is your shirt?
For us, please?
Oh, my shirt is... Okay, hang on. Let's see. It's like a Harry Potter, like, undesirable number one, but for my friend and one of my favorite artists, William Beckett, who used to be in a band called The Academy Is, he made these, like, he really loves Harry Potter, and he made these, like, merch for his music that's, like, the undesirable number one poster, but with him in it.
Oh,
and
cool.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a nerd.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I have to show my ironic shirt to everybody who wasn't on earlier, my Dauntless shirt that I did not mean to pick out on purpose that has a big fire symbol on it. That was not me being mean. I did not realize I picked this.
Sensitive subject, Karen.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. So, all right, next big thing was that Scott pushed through the Mount Ash barrier, and he becomes an alpha. And I know some people are very back and forth on this. They're not really sure if he was really ready to be alpha. So what do you guys think?
I don't understand how pushing through the Mountain Ash made him an alpha. Is that something all alphas can do? They're more like
Somebody had made the point that the Mountain Ash, it has the power that you give it. You have to believe in it. You have to believe that it's going to protect you. And I think in that moment, maybe Jennifer Julia was like, what the hell is he doing? And maybe it just, there was a moment of uncertainty, and that's when he was able to push through. That's a theory that's going around.
I kind of see it a little bit of, we know for a fact that those Mountain Ash barriers are almost impossible to impenetrate for, like, werewolves. You know, that's their last defense kind of thing. It's supposed to stop them. Think about how much power he would have had to have drawn on and brought to the surface to be able to actually push through that. Because everything we've had from season one till now has always said, werewolves can't get through this. It's impossible. They can't do it. Think about how much power he's had to use to do that. So did he draw his alpha potential all the way to the surface just to break through, to get to her? I mean, kind of how I looked at it.
I'm thinking it's either that, or it's like, this is something that, like, it's one of the true alpha powers, if you know what I mean. Like, the true alpha has extra powers, and that they can, that's, you know, they're susceptible, you know, they're not as susceptible, or, you know, they're better.
Like a purer form of the alpha power that means that maybe he could have drawn on it a little bit more, that meant he could get through the Mountain Ash barrier. But, you know, I'm guessing next season we'll probably learn a little bit more about his struggles, because we know from when Derek became the alpha how unstable he was just right at the end of season one, going into season two, where he just goes off the rails and bites all of these teenagers because he thinks it's a good idea.
It's going to be burning anyone unless it's an emergency.
It's going to be interesting to see how Scott deals with having so much more power. Like, how is that going to feel for him? You know, what's that going to mean for the rest of the pack? What's it going to mean for Isaac? Can he now choose Scott properly as his alpha? You know, that's going to be really interesting to see when we come back in January.
Okay, I'm going to go. You asked if there's debate whether or not, I'm going back to, you asked if is Scott ready to be an alpha, or was he at that point? And I'm going to go and give you my favorite quote from the season because of this. I mean from the episode. And basically, it was Scott saying, I'm an alpha now. It's not I'm the alpha, it's an alpha. And we saw Peter is just like, I am the alpha, like, number one, me. And that's why Peter's never going to be a good alpha ever, or a good werewolf. And Derek, made the same comment, I am the alpha. Like, with Scott, he's like, no, I am an alpha. I'm one of many. I am part of a group. I am in this with a bunch of other people. And it's not this, he's not looking at him, he's looking at a group. And I think that is just so, so telling as to how he's going to handle being an alpha. So,
yeah,
that's my input. I think he's going to be great.
He definitely, in that scene, like when him and Derek were sort of seeing off Deucalion and he was kind of standing like that, he looked so, like, dominant, like, compared to everyone else in the room. Like, he just, the vibe of, like, him with Derek and him with Deucalion and just basically him existing there was genuinely, like, so powerful, not in a sort of arrogant way, in a naturally powerful way. And I can barely believe it's the same person from season one, like, just the way that he... Because you're like, you know, for a long time you're like, oh, Scott would never be like that, like, he's a derp or whatever, but he just is so different now, and everyone seems to think it, you know, like, and it's just really, Yeah, it's still most difficult to process that it's the same thing, same person.
I completely agree. People are calling for your fox, Natalie.
Oh, okay. Well, let us get to the end of the episode, and then we'll take some random questions and discuss some things that people might want to ask, anything random about us or the season. But we'll just get to the end of the episode, and then we'll do fun times.
Can't imagine they'd want to know more about us after this.
So one of my favorite parts of this episode was that Allison decides to come up with a new code, and she tells her father, "We protect those that cannot protect themselves." And I just really loved that she decided she still wanted to be a hunter, but she didn't want to be the same type of hunter that she was before. And I just love that more positive outlook, and I love how her dad just kind of agreed with her, and that's what they're going to do.
Allie A saves the day.
What?
Allie A saves the day. From Comic-Con, when she was coming up with, when they asked them if they had their own spin-off show that they wanted, that's the one Crystal said she wanted. So,
beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's, yeah, I really
Allison
like that.
Batman for Halloween. That's her new nickname all around Tumblr, Allison is Batman. So I want her to dress up as Batman. Anyway.
Hey, we had an episode title named that, didn't we?
Yeah. I think that everyone who saw her like doing that, like silent, I am silent, I am a creature of the night, I appear on the roof and I leave without, you know, I appear without warning and I leave without notification and all that kind of stuff. I think everyone got the Batman vibe from her.
No, really. It was from us. We're trendsetters.
Okay, we'll say that. What is
Is there a really upset cat somewhere?
No, you guys can hear that?
Yeah.
That is my cat.
Let the cat in.
Let's see the cat.
Come Are you on. Serious? She's going to freak out if I pick her up.
Oh, don't pick her up.
Yeah. She just sounds so lonely. Aww.
She is. I think she wants to go outside.
Oh,
God. Okay. Are you coming? Oh, no.
Oh, this is bad.
Oh, sorry, Walls. She hates being picked up. But this is Molly, everybody.
Hi, cat.
Oh, Molly.
Oh my god, she hates life.
Okay, alright.
She's upset about Derek's treatment in this show, too.
Yeah. Like, why does everyone blame Derek? Oh, oh.
Leave Derek alone.
Okay.
That's the same cat, by the way, that got trapped in my bedroom that one episode, and I had to let her out, and it was in the bloopers. That was her.
She's famous. Okay, where were we?
New code.
Allison.
Yeah, so that's cool. And then Derek and Cora leave. I was pretty surprised by this, actually. I didn't think that Derek was going to leave. I mean, obviously he's coming back, but I was pretty surprised they went down that road. And actually, in a recent interview, Jeff said that Derek is kind of on a mission. He's looking for something that is important to his family. And I kind of have to wonder if they're going to go back to South America, where Cora was for that long, for 6 years, and keep looking for whatever it is that is important to his family.
Yeah, I mean, because he said that was important, like, that her being in South America, and then we've not even heard it mentioned on the show. So, don't know what the situation is, but, I mean, he's also said that, like, Derek will, like, you know, it won't just be, like, losses and hammering into the ground for Derek, like, that he would have, like, a win at some point in, you know, this season, that it will end on, like, a triumphant note for him. Do you feel that that happened?
Define triumphant. Wait, did she,
ask
did they mean
Jeff,
end of
I don't know.
Do they mean the end of 3A or the end of 3 in general? Because
well,
if
I
that,
thought
that
he
would
meant
make
3A.
A lot more sense.
I thought he meant 3A, but...
I know a lot of people have been struggling with this and are like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. But I think the lower that Derek goes, the more he can rise from that, and I think that he's going to be a better, like, even better person the more rock bottom he is, which sounds horrible, but that's what you do with characters. Those are, you know, character arcs and stories. And I did kind of feel like he was triumphant at the end of this. I know that, you know, considering everything that happened, it wasn't a very good ending, but he still has a sister, and I think that now that he's not an alpha, a lot of that pressure is off his shoulders, and so I feel like him being a beta and maybe him leaving town for a while is sort of his way to let go of some things.
I think that's
I see Courtney nodding.
He's better off as a beta.
Yeah.
That is my headcanon. Derek is a beta through and through, and I know a lot of people are going to get upset with me, but I just think he is going to thrive so much more.
I agree with Karen in that Derek leaving for a little bit, even if it's only temporary, is going to be nothing but good for him. Because you think about, he hasn't managed to take a step back since season one. So you think about everything he's been through since then. He's been stuck there. You know, after season one, he goes through everything with his sister dying, and then you've got Kate coming back, and then you've got Peter being the alpha, then him killing Peter, becoming an alpha, biting all these teenagers, them going missing. You know, it just spirals out of control, and he hasn't had
having it listed
to go,
out is awesome.
Whoa, hold on. I need to take a step back and have some time for me. So I know all of this is going to happen off screen, but
day.
Yeah. Derek Hale. That if we do not get an episode that is just called Derek Hale's Very Nice Awesome Day, I'm going to be so disappointed.
By the $20 bill on the sidewalk.
Well, we were really disturbed when he, like, met, back when he still thought he fancied Jennifer, and when he did that, like, happy smile and hug, we were all, everyone was like, no, take it away. So I want an episode where he, like, goes to the movies and, like, yeah, does, like, funny things. And everyone is like, "What is there? Is he possessed?" Kind of thing.
It ends up being grocery shopping.
Yeah, we've never seen a light moment ever of him. We've seen like funny, tense moments, but never a light moment. So
werewolf grocery shopping. Lydia brought it up, you know, as you do.
Somebody make that list for us. What is on Derek's grocery list? Please send it to us. We would love to know what you think. Hot pockets.
Somebody, do we think that he's gonna have attention? Like Derek, like would he, you know, look for an alpha or what?
I don't think so. I would have a really hard time thinking that he would go off to be in somebody else's pack. I feel like he's on that mission, and once he finds it, or once he realizes he can't find it, because I don't know either way. I mean, I hope he finds whatever he's looking for, but he'll be back. And I still have a really hard time seeing Derek as a beta to Scott, but I don't really see him going off and finding another alpha either.
Well, I mean, the thing I'm a little bit kind of... And it doesn't have to be Derek, and it certainly probably shouldn't be Peter. But I'm a bit like, about like the Hale pack not existing, if you know what I mean? Like their dynasty, they're kind of like, if they're like such a historically like powerful and benevolent pack, obviously a bunch of them like died in the fire. But it's to me, it's sort of a shame to like use that lineage, to lose that kind of lineage. I don't know, is that something that kind of vaguely upset anyone else?
I don't know. I like that it's kind of transforming and morphing from what would have been the Hale pack originally being in charge of Beacon Hills into something that is the Beacon Hills pack. So it's kind of a more overarching kind of thing. I like the way that's transitioning. What I would love to see is Jeff to actually follow through on his thing saying, you know, Scott's storyline is learning how to be an alpha. Derek's is learning how to become a hero. It's going to be really, really nice to maybe see Derek learn how to work with Scott and work together, maybe heading up the pack or helping Scott head up the pack, maybe as a second, not becoming an alpha again, but, you know, kind of leading it with him.
Well,
because I think Scott's influence on Derek is only ever going to be good.
You know? Right. I just don't think that Scott is going to run his pack, like quote-unquote pack, like the stereotypical idea that we have of an alpha, of like a control, and I think he's going to be, well, like, this is the power that I happen to have, so this is the situation, if you know what I mean, and like, I'm the leader, but in a kind of like, again, in a kind of like Buffy way, and people like see Buffy's the leader because she was the slayer, but in, you know, except in moments of random, like, you know, over dramatics, it wasn't like she was like, you are forced to be controlled by me, if you know what I mean, as opposed to many of the other packs, like, you know, pulling the alpha card. I don't think that Scott will pull the alpha card as much at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it does. So, dear at Midnight Shades 2, who said, has anyone mentioned how MTV might lose Hecklin to the DC Universe, how Derek might be gone?
Me.
No, I never thought about this.
Karen's just like, that's not going to happen. No. I refuse. No, right. I'll tell you why. So. That Batman versus Superman movie is going to be the worst frickin' movie in the history of time. So, he needs to not waste his time with that. Because, seriously, it's going to be so...
If anyone follows comic book news as well, DC have completely backpedaled on that as well. So they kind of went, whoa, no, we want someone with a more established name, and now they've just kind of gone, Ryan Gosling, we want Ryan Gosling. So it's kind of like, I don't even think DC know who they want to be the new Batman. So I wouldn't worry. I don't know where that's going to go, but you know, DC have a really terrible habit with their casting of just flip-flopping on what they actually want. So they say one person, guaranteed, it's going to be someone else. And yeah. It's probably going to be, like, completely out of left field, and everyone's just going to go, really? Are you kidding? But yeah, I mean... I don't understand why they would go with another Batman again. And this is me getting a little bit geeky here. When right at the end of The Dark Knight Rises, they set it up for him to take over for...
For Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
For him to take over. And that's
except,
how it...
Except that it's not... I don't think he would do it without... like, the Christopher Nolan universe. Like, I think it's going to be, like, and given how, like, not very good the Superman movie was, like, and the sort of drop in quality from that Batman, and they're like, oh, no, it's not that Batman's DC, it's not that DC Batman, it's going to be a different Batman universe. You know, you'd hope that the quality would be maintained, but, you know, you'd hope that the quality would be maintained, but I just don't know... that it is going to be Christopher Nolan's universe of Batman, like, therefore, I don't know if Joseph Gordon-Levitt would even play into it at all. Like, that's what they should be doing, but whether it's what they will do is another question.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, DC Universe, I don't even think they understand what they want from what they're trying to put out. So I don't... To be honest, I'm not worried that we're going to lose him to DC because... I mean, even kind of bottom line, that's probably not going to go into production for maybe another year to 2 years, like properly. So I wouldn't worry too much about that anyway. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't I hope that he is not Batman. That's hang on.
I just got an at reply that says, I'd rather see a Nightwing movie than another Batman one. Boom. Agreed. Yeah. Give me Nightwing any day.
Are you answering a message, Natalie?
Yeah.
Or am I?
Huh? No, I've got it. I've got it.
Okay, okay, so we have any more points for the episode?
I think
it was just Scott's dad hanging around.
Yeah, we jumped around quite a lot.
My only thing is, what the hell's happened to Gerard?
Yeah.
Do we have a, is he just going to still be there, being, you know, Gerarding around?
A medical mystery and just spewing out his goo and bad advice. And.
Yeah. I just don't really understand.
Like an evil Yoda, just there to...
evil Yoda. I mean, what's he going to think of, what's he going to think of, like, this whole new code or whatever, like, and all of that, and do we care, and is he relevant?
Yeah, I don't think he has much to say anymore.
I want Gerard to stick around just for, like, the conclusion to that story and to figure out what the heck is going on with him. I mean, I don't particularly, like, care about him. Like we've said before, if you actually like Gerard, there's something really wrong with you.
Yeah. But he's the only unredeemable.
We're about to have a bunch of angry messages on Twitter now because there's going to be a bunch of, like, really passionate Gerard fans, and they're like, screw you.
Have you seen anybody on Tumblr who's like, oh my god, Gerard, we need more Gerard?
In the deep, dark crevices, I'm sure they're there. This is Tumblr. There's
no, you everyone. Can't. It's I just, this is what I've said. Like, I'm like, we just can't picture, yeah, Wonder Woman should come in and kick everyone's asses. If they don't do a Wonder Woman movie soon, there's something
if
a bit wrong.
If it's not Gina Torres, I'm not interested.
With the world. Oh, that would be really cool.
I would love that.
Yeah.
But there
boom,
is
just throw that one out there.
Nothing redeemable about Gerard. And we just don't understand, like, every other character... You could make a case for, like, a turnaround or some kind of, like, oh, I'm a fan of Jekyll, I'm a fan of Peter, whatever. There is nothing at all likable about Gerard, and there cannot be Gerard apologists. They're just...
He's very passionate about his cooking. I can respect that.
Cooking with Gerard, okay.
It takes heart. Ow, that hurt. Just punched
yeah, I just, I'm just very upset by the idea of, like, people liking him in any way, so that's, like, a thing. But we would be, is he gonna, but the fact that he's, like, around, and we know...
I'm sure they're just holding him to the side, keeping him on ice, just in case they need to bring him for anything.
We also know that, like...
Anything.
You know, Derek healed Cora by, like, you know, sucking all the poison out of her, and it took away her power, and then, you know, it took away his power, but he healed her. You know, the more he did pain relief, the more it healed her. So I'm really worried that Scott's given him some healing, you know? And I just don't want him to just jump out of the, you know, the world and, you know, I'm out of my wheelchair, here I am, doing some evil again.
Show tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, chess hands, here I am.
That's going to play, it's going to go into Robbie's musical episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Yvonne, who's very, very focused on rage revenge killings right now, just saying... But just being like, and then Allison kills Gerard, which I wouldn't like. I mean, what do we think about, like, people killing, you know, who in this show would you kind of be, like, okay with killing? Like, not them being killed, them doing a killing, if you know what I mean. Like, people, we've been like, oh, I don't want Scott to kill anyone. I don't want him to become an alpha that way, you know, whatever. You know, that Scott will potentially never kill someone, whether it's a supernatural person or a human person. What would we be okay with Scott killing? Like, would we be okay with him killing, like, a demon or, like, something like a mermaid or something? Or would
a wasp.
We, you know, fly?
I could go with wasp.
And what people in the show would you be okay with them doing a murder? Or a, you know,
Lydia killed Peter. Just hands down.
Karen's like, I don't want any of my babies to kill anyone.
You see how hard I was thinking? No, I was like, I don't know about that.
Dude, it's, okay. What are we okay with, or what, like, who do we see, like, in the future?
Both. Like, both, I think.
Because I can see something, I can see Styles.
I can as well.
Like, I hate it, but I can see it.
I mean, I think it really depends on how... I think with Styles kind of going off the rails, I guess, kind of thing, it would all depend on how they play up, how this darkness is going to affect him. Because if it's going to go in that direction, I think out of everyone, Styles would probably be the one that would succumb to it the most. Because we know that from what we saw with Allison and her hallucinations with her mum earlier in the season, and then a little bit later, that she can eventually shut down quite clinically and deal with something, eventually. So she can get to that point of being able to just be like, well, I'm feeling very emotional about this, but you know what, I'm learning how to just kind of go, that's it.
I actually think Allison is the one person that... that I could see doing it, not in a like, oh, I'm in a dark rage, but in like a, yeah, I'm killing this thing or this person.
Yeah,
I do think that could happen. We should probably go offline in about 15 minutes or so. We will have been running for 2 hours, so that's quite a while.
Sorry. Normal.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. Unedited podcast can be like 3 to 4 hours, so
you know,
buckle up. Let's go. We still got 2 more hours.
Oh my god!
I've got to work. You
keep going until you have to go to work, Danya.
It doesn't actually go till 4 o'clock. For 4 hours. We have had an unedited one be 3 hours, which is a lot. Maybe Agent McCall would kill Gerard. IDK, I don't like them both. Yeah, no one likes them. It's fine.
Somebody, okay. What do you think the plan is for Danny? Do we think Danny's going to be utilized?
Yes, I love Danny.
I want Danny to be utilized. And I don't, that sounded bad, but yes, more Danny. Hashtag.
I like
Chantel it. Would agree. Chantel loves Danny. She wants Danielle and Danny.
She's a smart girl. The girl knows what
yes.
she's talking.
Yeah, she knows.
Hi, Chantel. We know that you're going to watch this later, yeah. So shout out.
Yeah. And hi to Haley and Felicia, who both, I believe, have tweeted about us, our live stream tonight, which is nice.
You have way
and
too much
Matt
faith in
And Matt retweeted Felicia, which was nice, too.
Pardon?
Yeah. Matt, what? From the main account, retweeted Felicia.
Oh, sweet. Cool. That's fun. And, yeah, so hi to all of our Team Wolf family and friends. Been really cool this season getting to interact a little bit with some of the people from the show, which is cool. And fun for us. It's all been very exciting. So hi to anyone from the show that exists out there in the universe. We love you all, and you're all a very good team and very openly to us. You know, very supportive in a kind little way for our little podcast. It's fun. I guess. Yeah, if you guys want to send in any other questions or comments, like, about anything you want.
I'm watching.
Pardon?
I said, yes. I'm watching. Send them in.
Oh, if anyone wants to, like, see anything.
Can you guys see the YouTube video that I've put in here?
In where?
Because, Natalie, you said you haven't watched the sneak peek yet, right?
No, I haven't. I can watch it now. Did you put it in the chat?
I have... Click on the YouTube thing. I have...
Oh, yeah, watch YouTube videos together. Okay.
There's talk that Deethan may not end up well. That makes me...
Is that? Because I really liked it that Scott was like, you know, I look at my friends or whatever, in that bit at the end where he was like, I've got serious depression or whatever. And Lydia is his friend and Aiden was, but like him looking at Ethan and Danny together is like, they're both not that close to him. So I feel like that they have the potential, like the fact that they were included means that they will get a lot closer to Scott potentially. And, so that's cool. I don't know if this is loading, Karen. I can... What?
Oh, after... That's not what I meant to do. I don't know. If I press play, does anything happen?
The Hangout is going to explode. Oh.
Oh.
Was it playing?
Yeah. It was playing for me.
Oh.
I don't understand what I'm watching.
Hold on.
I just know everybody went on mute for a few seconds there, and I'm just
sitting there like... I don't understand what I'm watching. It looks like porn.
No, it's not. Keep watching.
Oh, yes. No, it is. Season 3B.
Okay, then.
Ooh,
watching
back.
Your face was the best.
I saw for the first couple of minutes of that, or the first 30 seconds, I was like, is this like a porn ad? What's happening? No, apparently that's just Isaac and Allison, so that's cool.
Season 3, Tumblr edition.
So that's the sneak peek.
Value added porn.
So Kate is returning then? In some format, whether she will come to life or if she's just going to traumatize Allison in her dreams, that's also fun. Either way,
bring in Kate too.
A lot of people are thinking that it's just her nightmares and the darkness inside of her that, you know, will be seeing her haunting her dreams, and that maybe this is how we're going to see Stiles' mother.
I
like that idea.
No thanks.
I mean, I like the idea, but I don't want to be hurt by this idea.
But you will be hurt.
I will be.
Feels. The Stilinski feels. We're all frightened of those.
Yeah.
How do I close this YouTube thing? I don't want that there anymore.
Okay, just click on the...
Yeah.
Click on it again.
So, sneak peek... Nightmares, Allison, Isaac. I mean, what do we think of the Allison Isaac hookup? Kind of. That was
very.
What
are you doing?
What, Karen? What are you doing?
I don't know what's going on.
She's trying to take pictures of us.
No, I don't know what to do.
Oh,
how do I get really your faces back? Oh, okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm so mad at this. What?
All right.
It's fine.
Things.
We've descended into madness.
Allison and Isaac, they were having fun.
Yes.
That was just in their dream. I mean, what was he saying that Scott's moved on and that Allison...
Oh, yeah, he's totally fine with it. And she's like, oh, he said that? And he's like,
not
what?
In so many words.
Yeah, you know. He's fine. You know. It's fine. He's moved on.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to a place, like the whole build up of the entire season of those two. But okay, let's just see if anyone if anyone wants to send in their random questions now, we'll just do a few minutes, you know, five or 10 minutes of random questions, and then we'll go. So, I mean, if anything about the show or us or whatever, I see someone said, what inspired you guys to make a podcast in the first place, well, basically we just, Karen and I, at least, as part of Hyperball, Hyperball has a lot of podcasts for different shows, and we were both already, were you already on a show when we started?
I did Onceable, yeah, that was my first podcast.
And we were both on shows already, and we were like, there's no podcast that exists for Teen Wolf, and it was kind of like just before the fandom really blew up, like in mm-hmm. between season 2 and 3, and we just were like, yeah, we need one. And the show at the time, Hyperball didn't even cover Teen Wolf as a fandom, and then we sort of just made it. We knew it was going to be.
It was. Big. Do you remember the Facebook conversation that we had? Because it was like, oh yeah, I really want to cover. I was saying I really want to cover Teen Wolf, and Natalie was like, oh, let me help you. I will be your beta. And then she was like, we should do a podcast. And I was like, we should do a podcast. And we were like, no, wait, we really should do a podcast. And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, it just sort
decided
of
decided pretty quickly.
I don't know. It's weird. It's
And Brooke and I just kind of do social media. Shout out to Brooke, guys, if you're on the Tumblr a lot. Brooke is 80% of that Tumblr. So, and she couldn't be
here
tonight.
She's amazing.
So, yes, yeah. Brooke is awesome. We love Brooke, and we're sad that she couldn't be here tonight. So, yes,
yeah, we,
send Brooke love.
We brought in, Courtney and Brooke, basically, to do, just because I don't tumble, and Karen doesn't tumble, and we're like, if we want to make this a big thing, most of Teen Wolf's fandom is on Tumblr. It's not like people have, like, you know, websites about it and stuff. There's no... most of it's on Tumblr, so we're going to go and go on Tumblr, and I was like, I don't know how to Tumblr, and I was like, guys, you like Teen Wolf, do you want to do this Tumblr thing with us? And they were like, yeah, and now we're a family / team / pack, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Danya has been helping up tons while we're giving shout-outs here. She's being awesome.
Yeah, she did, the girls, got her to... Again, we don't know really how to tumble.
We're so bad at it.
Our layout, if you go to the Tumblr, our layout is all Danya, and it's beautiful. We love it.
And so you're going to Wolfsbane, which is the Teen Wolf Con happening in the UK.
Yeah.
Do you know who's going to be there at the moment?
Yes. So Tyler Hoechlin's been announced, Stephen Lunsford. there she goes. And then you've got Lyndon, Melissa, JR, and Kiahu.
Yay! Fun times.
Wait, do we miss somebody? No? That was it?
No, that's everyone. Posey was going, but I think filming conflicts meant that he had to back out. So he's not going to be a guest anymore. Which is a shame, but they've added...
Cinqua, right?
Yeah.
I know I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to go sit in the corner now because how can I forget him? I love him.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so good.
So if anybody's going.
I believe that Donya's going to have a little bit of, tiny bit of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast swag. If anyone runs into her that listens to the podcast, you might be able to get a little card or sticker or whatever it is that we have that look really cool.
She
I haven't actually got
to be
a
legit.
It,
She's so. Trying to make us look legit. It's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to have some swag with me. I have some other stuff planned as well. So make sure you keep an eye out for me because I may have like little presents as well. To promote the podcast.
I'm going to say, I want presents too.
Someone's just quickly asked as well, do you think Can't Kill Kenny KJ, okay, hi KJ, do you think Peter got to be an alpha when Derek gave it up and reverted back to the previous alpha? When Peter says at the end, I've always been the alpha, number one, he reminded me of like Riff Raff in the end of Rocky Horror where he's like, he never liked me. Anyway, that aside, is Peter actually the alpha? Like, is he an alpha? Or is he just like, I'm an alpha and I'm going to get my alpha status back? Because do you
think
he'd revert back to him? Or when Derek got rid of it? Or if he's like, I have the right to be the alpha, so I'm going to get it. Now he wants to kill Scott.
Jeff has specifically said that it's in his head, that he's not actually the alpha, but that I took it like that, like he's deserved to be the alpha, and I think that maybe this has been planned for a really long time, because he was the cause of Derek getting the blue eyes. Not that that necessarily means he can't be alpha, because obviously he was, but I just have a feeling that Peter's been on this goal for a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if, like, how long, I mean, I don't know, man, we don't know how, like, I want to know what
that wrong.
Was when he was, like, a child, like, what, like, when that whole, like, flashback visionary episode, because I'm just so confused by that, so, yeah. I don't know, I want more Talia. I want to know.
Does anyone want to see Lydia hitting on Ethan by accident?
Oh my god!
But it seems like everyone in this in the fandom and on the show can tell those two apart, except for Brooke and I. Brooke and I still have so many issues telling them apart. So
I don't know. Ethan looks like a little bit shorter, and his hair's like a bit. I don't know. I can usually vibe which one it is by whether they're being a psychopath or not.
I would think if you're sleeping with one, you would know the other.
Yeah. But, well, Lydia knew straight away which one was which.
Yeah.
Right, pun intended.
Yeah. Unintentional puns.
Jen has asked, favorite flavor of ice cream? Go.
Vanilla.
Oh.
Mint chocolate chip.
Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia.
I'm going to show you my ice cream.
Oh, no!
No!
No! What is this?
No.
Bullshit.
We need to see the fox.
Here are two of my favorite ice creams.
Yeah,
one
we need the fox.
Magnum, which you guys don't have in America. You guys
but
have
we have
them
it in the UK.
Yeah.
We have that stuff in the UK. I love
and
that
it's
stuff.
We have commercials about that. Yeah, we have those.
Special edition Magnum. That's white chocolate with strawberry in the middle, so that's fun.
God. That sounds naughty.
This is a special ice cream from my favorite pizza place in Sydney, which is like I've only got, and they make they made their own little brand of ice cream. It's salted caramel malt crunch. So it has like it's like a vanilla-y kind of ice cream with salted caramel syrup through it and like Malteser balls in it. It's real good. It's really expensive as well, so I'm just going to put it over here before I eat it.
Well,
but it's really good.
I have cake.
I like,
so.
I like cake. No. I like Baskin-Robbins Gold Medal Ribbon. That's one of my favorites as well. I like things with caramel in it, so yeah.
Mm, very nice, very nice.
For anyone who has ever visited Wales, particularly the Mumbles area, and is listening... Though I doubt that anybody else from Wales is going to be listening.
It's a little late.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, it is 25 past 3 in the morning. Joe's ice cream is like the best ice cream. And it's a little, tiny little ice cream parlor right down on the pier in Wales. And
is that in Cardiff, in Mermaid Cay?
No, it's in Mumbles. It's just outside of a place called Swansea. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I've had really amazing ice cream in Wales. Actually on the pier at Mermaid Cay, right near where, like, the Torchwood entrance is, like, where that was filmed, they have an ice cream parlor there that's on one of the
pier. That was really good. Like that one.
Really amazing. That is probably, like, the best strawberry ice cream I've ever had. And I also had amazing ice cream in Dublin, which was sea salt vanilla, which sounds weird, but, again, was amazing. So... yeah, British Isles are doing something right. Oh, and Haagen-Dazs Dolce de Leche, which we don't have Haagen-Dazs in Australia. So, yeah, we might get like a few little tubs of the vanilla and stuff, but we do not have the Haagen-Dazs line as a whole in Australia. If anyone knows,
Haagen-Dazs Banana Foster is fantastic.
Where you can get it. But like the scoopable Haagen-Dazs, like a Haagen-Dazs parlor where you can go and actually get a scoop of it, it's like that's in Europe like a lot, like France. I've had that in France, like Amsterdam and the UK, and their Dolce de Leche, like in a waffle cone. That's the best. That's the pinnacle of life. So,
anyone joining us right now?
Anyway,
3 o'clock in the morning, why can't I go get ice cream?
Okay.
I want ice cream.
Me too.
I'll be soon.
We should go soon. And as of now, in case anyone else has any random questions about, you know, favorite types of seeds or...
No, you've got...
I will go and take the computer to the Fox now, if yes. everyone would like to
We're
finish up.
We're going on a field trip, guys.
An exclusive Yay! Interview with the star of you know, Teen Wolf Season 3B. We're going to
see here first.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a Not Another Teen Wolf podcast exclusive, guys.
Teen Wolf. Oh god, there's a kid. Yeah, okay, good. She's behaving. Roxy! I don't know if you can see her. Hang on. Hey! Oh. Hey, do you want to be on the camera? Can you see her? I don't know if you can see her. I can't. You could probably hear her.
We can hear her.
I can't
her.
See what you guys are seeing.
Oh.
Okay, can you...
It's lagging.
Hang on, here's me. Well, we're kind of outside, so hang on. Roxy, come on, come on. Can you see me?
Yes.
Yes.
We can see you.
Okay. Let's... Can you see folks? I can't... Oh my god, why aren't you going on the camera?
I don't know if you can see her. Yeah, you have to talk to get front.
Hello? Hello, can you see me or
yeah.
Kind of. Yeah,
she's facing the wrong way, but Roxy, 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 hey. Hang on, I will fix this and then we will go. Okay, folks, come here. Do you want to be on the camera? No, she's like, no, I don't fucking want to be on the camera. Can you see
fucking
her now?
Hate wolves.
No,
all this is you.
Pardon?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
Roxy.
Wait.
Roxy.
She's like, no one's spoke to my agent about this.
Roxy, come on. Freezing. I know this isn't an authorized interview, but turn around. Come on. No. Oh my god, Fox, come on! Sorry.
We can't see all of the Fox right now. We've got to have some kind of surprise for the reveal of Season 3B. So, you get, like, a distorted
image. What's really
image.
Annoying is I can see her really well in the reflection of the computer. So... Roxy! Come on!
Oh, god.
Oh my god, we take freaking eyesight camera pictures with her all the time. I don't know why she's being weird. Hang on, she's going into the garden. I don't know if you can see there. Can you see the
Yay.
Garden? No?
Yay!
Oh,
yes, good.
Yeah? Yeah? Roxy?
Yeah?
Okay. I will attempt to, at some point, get better video of the fox, but hopefully someone saw the fox. She's being... Not very cooperative right now.
I think the outside has killed you.
Anyway.
Your video.
All right, I'm going to go back inside because the Wi-Fi probably wants to cut out from being outdoors. It's not that strong, and we should say goodbye to everyone. I'm going to have to watch this video back and see how bad that video of the fox was. let's see... Okay. Any tags? Anything left in the?
I think they've gone quiet.
Any final notes? No. Anyone got anything final to say?
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in, everyone.
How many people did we get up to?
It's 60-ish. I don't know. If it's been, which is a bit long, so I don't know if people have been on the same at the same time. I'm going to put the ice cream back in the freezer now.
Oh, yes.
Not eat it. But, yeah, I guess hopefully everyone has enjoyed our time together. It has been a little bit long because we don't know how to shut up. But if we, you know, we'll potentially do another Google Hangout at some point. Oh, someone's seen the fox, so that's good.
And now that we know what we're doing, kind of, with the
whole Google Hangout. Yeah, none of us had ever hosted a Google Hangout before. I've done them before for our Doctor Who podcast, but I hadn't hosted it, so we were a bit shaky. You might have caught our trial and error run this morning when we needed to get some viewers.
Our pre-show.
But yeah, thank you for that, and thank you for tuning in. If you happen to miss this or know someone who missed it and might want to watch it, you will be able to watch it later on. It will save automatically to YouTube, and then the file will be there forever, so you can recount us doing and saying terrible things and being ridiculous. So in the meantime, like, you know, thank you for joining us and hanging out with us. And thank you especially to Donya, to people being like, why do you have a fox? Oh, my God. It's the whole thing. Don't ask. Anyway, I will post some exclusive photographs of the fox to the Teen Wolf Twitter, you know, exclusive images of Star of Teen Wolf Season 3. In the meantime,
congratulations to everyone for making it through Season 3A. Have some cake.
Yay!
Wait, I didn't make it. I don't know what you're talking about. I am but a shell.
Hopefully.
I'm talking to you from beyond.
Okay. Someone's asking, okay, just as a final question, someone called Jake Goyer has asked a couple of times, do you think Styles deserves to be a werewolf? And, I mean, that makes it sound like being a werewolf is, like, being superior to other things, which, I mean, physically it might be an enhanced state, but I don't think it's a matter of, like, only the worthy deserve to be a werewolf. I think that if Styles wanted to be a werewolf, he's had ample opportunity to become one. So I'm cool with him as he is. I don't think he's, like, pining away wishing he was a werewolf. And I think that some of the people who are werewolves aren't particularly happy with their state. So, you know, I think, don't know if deserves is the right word to be using. What about you guys?
I agree.
Yeah, agree with that completely. I don't think deserves is the right word. I think I like Styles as he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has his own strengths and his own powers from being just Styles. And that's not a bad thing. That is a really good thing, because I think for people like Scott, it kind of grounds him back into his own humanity a little bit, still being around someone who's been a constant in his life from when he was still human. So I think it's a really, really good thing for both Styles and Scott that Styles is human.
Yeah. Okay.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah.
On that note, we shall let you all go and see you guys later. We'll be doing some bite-sized episodes during the hiatus. Probably not weekly, but... And
Donya and I have a little something up our sleeves for the Tumblr and any
sweet
enthusiasts. We are plotting for the 19 Fridays that we will be without Teen Wolf. Expect weekly posts of some fun fic wrecks.
Cool. All right.
Sorry. I guess that's news to you guys too.
They don't tell us anything.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. We just let them do whatever, and they take care of it.
Yeah.
It turns out awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
don't steer them wrong.
I've said this on several occasions, but like, and this isn't going to make sense to very many people, especially because I don't have any British listeners on right now, unless it's 3 a.m. But I am the Nick Grimshaw of this Radio 1 breakfast show in that I talk a lot, and I talk a lot of shit, and I'm very loud, but I know nothing technically, and the rest of the team is the one kind of, like, making me even this much able to function, despite the fact that I'm the most loud and obnoxious person involved. So... yeah, thank you to my, you know, Radio 1 breakfast team of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast people. Donya might understand what I'm talking about.
Completely got that. I listen to Nick Grimshaw quite a lot, actually, because I think he's great.
And his team just kill me. Like, Courtney is my Matt Fincham, so, you know.
Again, I have no idea what that means, so I'm going to
Courtney's going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? All these people, trust me, it's a thing. Anyway, we're going to go now. So, bye, everyone say bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.